Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Don't know what you're planning to do today or if your plans have been changed because of the rain. Maybe you can play some good games with your kids in the house, or maybe you just want to sit back and have a day for dad, watch some sports. I love sports. If you don't know me, I love sports. And In fact, I was in this whole conversation with my wife of whether I should wear my OU jersey, then people wouldn't like that, or whether I should wear my Royals jersey, then I make all the Cardinals fans mad, what should I wear, because it's all about, I'm going to talk about sports a little bit, and I just thought I'll wear my Ozark Christian College, because that's where I played basketball, and nobody will get mad at that, I hope. So, but I love sports, and what I found out in a little research today, that there are a lot of people in the world that love sports also. As I checked online, I looked up the 10 most popular sports in the world, and I found that 3.5 billion people love, what do you think the favorite sport in the world is? It is soccer. The most popular sport in the world has 3.5 billion fans. My favorite, basketball, that I got to play for quite a while and in college, 2.2 billion fans, and basketball is in third place. Second at 2.5 billion is cricket. Any cricket fans in here? Anybody ever played cricket? I think that's in a lot of other countries. I have to admit, one of my favorite, and probably some of you in the room, is American football. I love college football. I love watching high school football, the pro football. But there's only 410 million of us that are into American football. In fact, you might get a kick out of this. American football got beat out by field hockey, tennis, volleyball, and even, you ready for it? Table tennis. Any table tennis fans in the room? I know some of us play it, but I don't know that I've ever just sat and watched it in competition on TV. There's more fans in American football. Because of my love for sports, some of my favorite passages that have gotten me pumped up have also involved sports talk. And Paul is one that has a lot of sports talk, a lot, more than anybody else. But as you see in some of these scriptures that we're going to talk about today, he's got a lot of sports talk. And so he's one of my favorite Bible authors because of that. In Paul's time, they had some ancient games going on, about four in the Greek world. One of them that we would all be familiar with, the Olympics, right? There's even athletes today that are getting ready for the Olympics in 2020, the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, just like they were getting ready for in Paul's day. So they related to what he was talking about when he started to use a little bit of sports talk. And I relate to that too. I believe the reason some of us really like sports is that there are consequences, right? We like that there are consequences. I don't know about you. I'm going to watch a little bit of the U.S. Open today because the leaderboard is full of all of these new young guys that have never won a major championship or never won the U.S. Open. And to me, that's exciting. There's great consequences for them. In professional sports, winning or losing can mean whether you keep your job or you get paid more money. Somebody today is probably going to miss a putt just like me and lose that trophy. And I'm going to feel good about it. I don't know, maybe, because I can't putt very good and they miss a putt, but just going to watch some of that. Collegiate sports, the loss of one game sometimes can determine whether they win a conference championship or whether their team gets to the end of the season championship tournament. During high school sports, the consequences can be whether you get an athletic scholarship or not to go on to college. With little kids, I will say it used to be, maybe in some sports it's still this way, but consequences were the size of the trophy or the color of the medal in when playing in a sport. The way we live our lives, I say all that to say this, the way we live our lives is no different. Guys, there are serious consequences. I think that's why we're here today, together as a church, because there are eternal consequences to our life, much bigger than any sport we can ever play. Life is a proving ground where we prove who we are, whom we trust, and what we cherish. Who are you? Who do you really trust? What do you really cherish? Now, sports can be an important part of that, I think, and they can help us in our Christian walk. They helped me a lot, and there were a couple of people that really helped me in that, in my Christian walk, and using sports in that way, and one of them was my dad teaching me growing up We had a lot of conversations about sports and what that has to do in our spiritual life. But another one that impacted me a lot was my coach in college, who was Charlie Williams. I want to show you a picture of our graduation. This is Brendan and I graduating from college there with our coach Charlie Williams. And yes, that is me. Even on that cap, you can see some hair. I did have hair at one point when I was younger. Isn't she beautiful? She's still beautiful today, but she was beautiful back then. Man, I'm one lucky man. But that's my coach, Charlie Williams. He taught me some great things. And I can remember, he's really the one that taught me that I can worship on a basketball court. That if I do it in the right way, and I don't do it for myself, that worship isn't just when we come in this room. That we can worship on a baseball field. We can worship in the way we eat, the way we work, the way we play. And Coach Charlie Williams had a lot to do with teaching me that. But one, I remember one day we were in basketball practice, and we were running sprints, right? Anybody ever ran sprints in any kind of sport? And we were running from baseline to baseline. And in college, it got a little bit more intense. You just didn't run sprints to just kind of do a few at the end of practice. You actually had to run so many and touch so many times in order to make a timed goal, or we all had to run again. Yeah, one guy missed it. 22 in so many minutes, then we all had to run again. And so what happens when you get a timed sprint like that is some of the guys kind of get down close to the baseline and they get almost there and then they run back. And then the next time they get a little bit further away, and one time coach in the beginning of the season, he just stopped practice, blew the whistle, got everybody down to the side, and he said this statement, I've never forgotten it. Winners run baseline to baseline. He said, I'm putting coaches at each end to watch you, but you still might cheat. He said, what'll happen is you'll get 95% of the way, and then you start going 90% of the way, and then you go, I said, I want you touching the lines, either with your foot or with your hand, because winners run baseline to baseline. Because here's what happens. This is just a sprint. It doesn't seem important in the sport of basketball, but if you start to give a little here, then you'll give a little bit on a play out in the game. You'll give a little bit in practice. You won't rebound as hard. You won't do whatever it is to win the game. And then we'll lose one game, and then we'll lose another game, and then we won't win the conference championship, and we won't get in the tournament that we want to get into, which are our goals. So if we start cheating here, we'll start cheating in other ways. And then he rolled that into our lives, because a lot of us were going into ministry, and a lot of us he knew would get married, and we would be fathers. And he started talking about that. When you start giving a little bit here, then you'll start giving a little bit there, and before you know it, you won't be getting along as well in your marriage, and you won't be doing well with your parenting, and you'll have struggles in your ministry or whatever job you might be taking if you give a little bit here. And he was just teaching us to give 110% in everything that we did because it would pay off in the end. And then he said it one more time. Guys, winners run baseline to baseline. I have never forgotten that, and I want you to remember that this morning as we go into the study of running the race. Paul is going to talk to us about running the race to get the prize, but I want us to understand this first, that until we are taken a hold by Jesus, we are not in the race. Paul's talking to the people in Corinthians about the race, and before this in Philippians, the church of Philippi, in chapter 3, verse 12, he says this. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This is the unique thing about the Christian race. We run not as though we see Jesus the judge at the end scrutinizing while we rely on our own strength. We run as though we have already been taken hold of by Jesus for the prize. See, in other words, we run to obtain eternal life because we've already been obtained for eternal life. If we're believers, we're already on that road to eternal life. We're already on that road towards heaven. And our running for it is the proof that we have already been obtained for it. And it's not something we do on our own. It's the work of God in Christ to obtain us. That's important for us to know because this passage in 1 Corinthians that we're going to look at about running the race is some personal things that we need to do now that we're believers to run this race well because we have a part to play. But it can only be done when first we obtain Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So let's take a look at our text today, see what Paul has to say to us. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. So if you've got your Bibles or you've got your phone, you can look on there or you can join me in looking up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. Here's what it says. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This morning, I want us to see three things from this text that I think will help us be the kind of winners that run baseline to baseline, and we can finish this race successfully and run this race successfully while we're running it here on this earth. The first thing is this: winners are contenders. Winners are contenders. He tells us in verse 24, run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, Paul had such a great redemption story going from Saul, this man who killed Christians, to Paul, who was converting people to Christianity, to Jesus. But what I love about him is his tenacity, how he tenaciously went about everything, giving everything that he had for Jesus, yet knowing that he was not perfect himself, even after being redeemed by Christ. I think the word contender describes Peter well. So well, because he didn't just live life, he attacked life for Jesus once Jesus changed him. In Acts chapter 14, here's kind of an illustration of that. Paul was preaching to a crowd in the city of Lystra, and some of his enemies were able to turn the crowd against him, and they stoned him and dragged him out of the city, and they left him for dead. As soon as Paul came to, the Bible says he got up and went back into the city. He had such a burning desire to preach the gospel that even the threat of physical violence couldn't keep him away. Now, that is a contender. He was no pretender. He was a contender for the gospel. Paul says later in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, don't we all want that said? Don't we all want to be able to say that at the end, that we've ran the race faithfully, that we've kept the course, that we've kept the faith? There's a huge difference between a contender like Paul was and being a pretender. Pretenders are concerned about their image and about impressions. Contenders are concerned about authenticity and integrity. Pretenders settle for mediocrity. Contenders strive for excellence. Pretenders quit in difficulty, but contenders grow through difficulty. The pretenders were the ones that didn't go all the way to the baseline. You know what I noticed? In 4 years of college, even though Coach said that as a freshman, he would say it every year, there were still some, even when he was watching or one of the assistant coaches that were watching, that would not go all the way to the baseline. Because they knew they couldn't make the time if they went all the way. So they would still stretch it instead of working harder to get better. But you know what I noticed? The pretenders that didn't make it to the baseline, guess where they sat during the game? Usually on the baseline. They stayed on the bench. They didn't get in the game. Even if they had a good part to the game, if they weren't willing to give it all, Coach wouldn't put them in. Real contenders run all the way to the baseline. And we need that in our spiritual lives too. We need to be competitors in our spiritual lives, because we have to come to realize that there is a great competition for our hearts. There is a competition out there for your heart and for my heart. It's all over in media, on our phone. There is a social influence that is all around us. There's a selfish influence where our selfish side wants to take over. And Satan gets involved in this all the time, where there's a satanic influence. Paul called this the good fight of faith. And you and I are involved in this heated competition for our hearts. Now, I know that even this morning, some of you may have come in here and you felt like, John, I don't really feel like a contender today. You don't know what I'm going through. In fact, you may feel like you have fallen completely out of the race, but I want to tell you there's some good news. You can get back in the race. You can get back in the race. With God's help, you can be a contender again. With faith in Christ, you can not only compete, but you can win this race. Just stay faithful, like Paul said. Do the little things. Go all the way to the line. Do the things that it takes to be in contention for the race at the end, to win the prize. Winners are contenders who reach for the prize. He used that word prize in there, and he used it again in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 in the New Testament, where he says, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, not to get the prize is not to go to heaven. But I think it's even more than that. As I said, we're in this eternal life already as believers in Jesus. The prize is not just heaven after this life, but a changed life because of Jesus right here in our eternal glory that we're going towards. It's a life of serving Him on our way to heaven. In fact, I was just out at camp for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Becca and myself and Mom went out, and I see some others here in the crowd that were out at camp with us also. And we enjoyed some great days out there, and there were a ton of kids out there. And our little group that we have had, along with Matt Jacks and Kevin Parkinson, we were the leaders of the group, and we were group 27. And so at the end of our first devotion, I was like, I don't know, the coach in me came out, and I was like, all right, all you kids, put your hands in right here. And I was like, okay, we all created these little names for all of us. I was a Jelly Bean John or Jalapeno John. We had to have the first letter that, you know, something that all the kids would remember. And so I was like, what can we don't have a team name. We never came up with a team name. So I just said 27 for heaven. I kind of had this sermon on my mind, and I thought, I want all these kids to be thinking about heaven. So every time we got together, we'd have them all put in their hands. Sometimes the other coaches would have to remember, or counselors, whatever we call ourselves. We call ourselves coaches. And we'd all put in our hands, and all the kids would put in their hands, and we'd say, 1, 2, 3, 27 for heaven. Our theme didn't have anything to do about heaven. We were talking about David, King David, and the battle that he had with Goliath and other things. But I just wanted them to think about heaven. We had a professor a long time ago that was Ozark Christian College, Brother DeWell. And when people went up to Brother DeWell and said, hey, Brother DeWell, how are you doing? You know what his response was? I'm happy on my way to heaven. I love that. Not fine. I'm good. I'm great. Thank you. It was always, I'm happy on my way to heaven. He had his focus. He had his purpose. Always set on the prize. Always set on heaven. We need to do that same thing. Always be set on heaven. Now, we had a great time at camp. I'm going to pause here for just a second. I'm going to show you how great of a time we had at camp. I'm going to show you a little video. We were in the pool, and they were throwing the kids, all these dads, and I thought, I want to be thrown. So, thanks to Travis getting behind there. It took five of them, but Travis gave a little extra push. He came over, and Wyatt Jenkins took the video. I want to show you how much fun we had. We were playing with the kids at times. They were throwing kids before this. There were 370 of us. I got some air. Woo-hoo! And there was a little bit of a splash. I'm kind of a big guy, I realize. And we don't want to watch the rest because I came up choking. I didn't realize I was going to get that high and took a breath at the wrong time. And we had a great time. We had over 370 kids, or over 130. There were 113 of us that went from Northside, had a great time. And we thank you for sending your kids to camp, but we always have a good time. I want to say this. There are three dynamics of transformation that God desires for each of our lives. And regardless of who you are or where you are in your spiritual journey, you need one of these changes. For a lot of us in here, we're believers, and we've already done this first one. But this first one is justification. It's salvation. It's where darkness is turned into light. It's where we are saved from the penalty of sin. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to start out being obtained by Jesus. Give your life to Him. Start this journey with Him so that you can get in this race. And it all starts with being justified, getting right with God. And Jesus did that for us. And then the rest of us are in this race of sanctification. The second one is sanctification, the process of becoming like Christ, where we're saved from the power of sin. This is a lifelong journey. That's kind of what we're talking about now, this race that we're running and how we need to do it. And then all of us look forward to this last phase, which is glorification, ultimately transformed into the likeness of Christ, where we are saved from the presence of sin. Sin no more. Wouldn't that be great? That's what we have to look forward to. I have the incredible privilege of leading a seniors group that meets here on the first and third Thursdays of every month. And we have a great meal together, and it's a great time. And we've had a couple of ladies here recently in our church that have gone on to this third phase of glorification and being with Jesus. Mary Lou Neal just passed away recently, and Wilma A. They fought the good fight. They ran the race. And it was great to see them run this race hard for all their lives. It gives me encouragement, as it should all of us, that they ran the race well. And I want every one of us to run the race well, always contending for the prize. Be contenders, not pretenders. The second characteristic of a winner is this. Winners are always in training. Paul says in verse 25, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. Guys, that means training never stops. For us as Christians, it never stops. It's a continual process throughout every day of our lives. No matter how much we age, we can still be learning, still be growing, still be becoming more like Christ. Now, as athletes, that's a little bit different, right? Some of you maybe played musical instruments when you were young, or you were in athletics and you don't do that anymore, and that training sometimes stops. For athletes, they go into strict training to excel in whatever they're trying to do. They not only work at their sport, but they change their diet and their habits in order to enhance their ability as an athlete. I remember in college, I gave up the sweet nectar of Dr. Pepper. I couldn't believe I was doing it. But my coach told me I would breathe better, I'd be able to run better, and I gave up pop while I was playing basketball in college. But I know that heaven runs with the sweet nectar of Dr. Pepper, the rivers flow with it, so I got it back. Thank you, Jesus, for Dr. Pepper. But I gave it up. I even ate bananas. I don't really like bananas, but I ate bananas because coach said that'll help you from cramping your calves, all that kind of stuff. So we do some things when we're in training, right? I've been wanting to ride my bike more often. I love my wife's potatoes and gravy and fried chicken. I don't ever want to give up cheeseburgers and bacon. So I know I need to be riding my bike more, but it doesn't mean I always do it. I like ice cream too. Doesn't mean I should always eat it. John Trapp said this, better to be pruned to grow than cut to burn. We have to change some habits sometimes in our lives, especially in our spiritual lives. A bad habit will never go away by itself. Now, let me tell you, church, if we're believers and we're not in the habit of spending time with Jesus besides this, we need to fix that. Because Paul says this is strict training. How do you get beat after preaching? I hope I don't get flogged and thrown out of the church after this. I don't know if I'd want to come back, right? But he did it. He walked right back in that city to preach some more. Even if he were going to get beat, flogged, stoned again, he was willing to do it. And it was because of his dedication to his purpose. He changed some habits. He made Jesus real into his life. Scripture can be our greatest guide when it comes to this. We've got to be into the Word. We've got to be spending time with God in His Word. It can be our greatest tool for spiritual training. Hebrews 12 tells us this, after this great chapter of Hebrews 11, telling us about all these great men of faith that have gone before us, it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. If we're really going to be in training, we got to get rid of some of those things that hinder us, the sin that so easily entangles us. We got to turn from that. We got to repent. It's not enough just to be plugged into the Word if you're still plugged into sin. Some of us need to throw that off, get rid of whatever it is that is keeping us from being all that we need to be for Jesus and running this race with perseverance, the race that's marked out before us. Paul goes on to tell us in our text in verse 25, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. There are great consequences to running this race well. Famous preacher Billy Sunday observed, more men fail through a lack of purpose than through a lack of talent. What crown are you trying to obtain in your life? Guys, I want to tell you as fathers, it's not bad to be a great father, to try to obtain that. Mothers, it's not bad to try to be a great mother. It's not bad to try to be a great wife or a great husband. It's not bad to try to be great at your work. But if that comes before Jesus, we got a problem. We got it mixed up. We got our priorities out of whack. What are you trying to obtain in your life? What crown? I want to say there's something better than being, as Wayne said earlier, than being the best dad in the world. Be the dad that just oozes Jesus. And everything else will fall into place. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, Paul tells him this, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. He goes on to say in verse 26 of our text in 1 Corinthians, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. And that takes us into our third point here, that winners are self-disciplined. Winners are self-disciplined. They're contenders, they're always in training, and they're self-disciplined. He says in verse 27, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. See, self-control is the ability to regulate your conduct by sound judgment rather than emotion, rather than impulse, rather than desire, peer pressure. or social custom? Why in the world is Paul talking about keeping his body under control? About beating my body. I beat my body, he says, to keep it under control so that I won't be disqualified in this race. Because I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I let my body rule my life. I do. I know I need to get up and ride my bike more. I know I need to get up every morning and spend time with the Lord. But wait a second, I just heard two sermons out at church camp, and so I can sleep in a little bit more and not spend that time with you because I already got a little overdose, right? Yeah, but that wasn't my personal time, but yet my body tells me to do that. Oh, you haven't got enough sleep. You were up all night with these little kids. And why is Paul telling us this? Because our bodies like to take control. If we let our body tell us what to do, it'll tell us when to eat. It'll tell us what to eat. It'll tell us how much to eat, when to sleep, when to get up, and so on. An athlete can't afford to let his body take over. The athlete would love to sleep longer, to eat that bacon cheeseburger or that chocolate sundae. But the athlete leads his body. He does not follow it. It is his slave, not the other way around. Should be the same for us as Christians. A Christian needs to cultivate a self-disciplined life so that he no longer does what is natural or is easy, but what is right and good by God's standard. The Christian becomes self-disciplined when they allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to control every aspect of their life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We can't live each day by how we feel. Otherwise, I'd eat ice cream every night, right? And I'd never get up and ride my bike. And honestly, I'd sleep in instead of getting up and spending time with God. I just do what I have to do to get by. But we need to live according to what God wants for us and what God expects for us in our lives. I want to show you a video of a couple of brothers, and I think they are triathletes, okay? They have trained big time for these triathlon races, and they're in like the World Series, the great race at the end of all of them to win as a triathlete. And I want you to watch the example of these two brothers. Watch this with me.
Second and third, but then less than 400 meters from the finishing line, unbelievable, Johnny Brownlee would start to find fatigue. He did not know where he was, and something that we've never seen before, Alistair Brownlee would help his brother to the finishing line. Henry Schumann could not believe his eyes. He would have himself an ability to get to the finish and win the grand final. The crowd absolutely could not believe what they were seeing. Henry Schumann, the man who had been the bronze medalist at the Olympic Games, would claim the grand final. What an incredible rock star season for Henry Schumann. And as he crossed the line, he would look back and not believe what he was seeing. The two Brownlee brothers trying to make their way to their finishing line with Richard Murray just seconds behind. And Alistair Brownlee would help the younger of the Brownlees in, push him across the line. It would be Johnny second, Alistair third.
Well, I've been in that position before, and when it happened to me in London all those years ago, I remember sprinting away in second place and then being in the position Johnny's in now and coming around, and someone telling me I was in 10th, and I was like, how did all them people come past me? So I swore if it happened to anyone, if it happened to Henry, I would have helped him across the line, because to be honest, it's an awful position to be in. If he'd conked out okay from the finish line there and there isn't a medical support, you know, it's a dangerous position to be in. So whatever, you know, obviously the World Series is a big play, but whatever, it's the right thing to do.
Okay, I don't know if you understand anything he said. I could hear it all very clearly in my office earlier when I watched this. But I wanted you to hear in this interview the last thing that he said. I don't know if you noticed in this race, but as they were coming around the corner, Alistair, the brother, was in second place. He was ahead of the Russian who ended up winning the race. I don't think his brother would have been upset if he went ahead and just ran on ahead and won the race. They weren't that far. If his brother would have won the race and then come back and got him, he was going to win. He was in front of him. All he had to do was finish that little bit, but he stops and helps his brother. And not only did he help his brother, did you see what he did at the end? He didn't get second. He pushed his brother across first. Man, is that Jesus or what? He went to the cross for us so that we could win. And he did that for us, just like this brother did. You know what he said at the very end? Alistair says this. He said, it was just the right thing to do. See, I don't know about these guys' lives. I don't know if they're Christians or not, but I know they had some different training than just physically, because there was some other training that came into play from their parents or coaches or somebody that gets a brother to do that for his brother. That's what the church is all about, a brother doing that for another brother. I was visiting a man a couple of weeks ago who's close to the end of his battle with cancer, and he was obviously concerned about his wife and his kids and what was going to happen to them. And we talked about our greatest love being Jesus and how we both look forward to seeing him together someday, and how we trusted and had faith that Jesus would be more than enough to sustain him, to sustain his family, even if he was not present. Those were tough conversations, but those are conversations we need to have to live that way right now. Why aren't all of us living that way? Whether we've got a couple of weeks to live or we've got years ahead of us, we need to stop running the race on our own power or the power of others, and we need to let Jesus carry us across the finish line. And here's what I want to encourage you with today. As we come into this communion time, if you're serving today, you may be dismissed to help us with this time of communion. But I want you to take some time, and I want you to focus on the cross. I want you to remember what Jesus did for you, that he died on that cross, that his blood was shed and his body was broken for you as you take that piece of bread and you drink that cup. But I also want you to take just a few moments in our communion time today, and I want to encourage you to do this. I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to envision Jesus helping you across the finish line, just like Alistair did for his brother Johnny. And not just the finish line of life, but maybe the finish line of something you're struggling with even right now. Maybe you're like, man, I'm just failing as a dad all the time. Well, let's do it with Jesus instead of doing it on our own, because he wants to take us across that finish line of fatherhood. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Let's do it with Jesus, because he wants to take you together across that finish line, married all the way to the end. Maybe it's a struggle at work. Jesus wants to be there in every aspect of your life, even in sports, running baseline to baseline. I believe it. He wants us to worship him in everything that we do, and he's first. Man, when I got that, and I wasn't playing basketball for myself or even for Ozark Christian College anymore, and I was playing for him, it made my whole world different. Are you playing the game for Jesus and him alone? Let's pray together today. Father, I just pray that we can surrender everything to you. Surrender our lives, surrender our jobs, surrender our marriages, surrender our families to you, our kids to you. May we just give them to you, Lord. And may we just run this race with you. You have such incredible plans for us, not failure. And one day we will have that moment of glorification. We will be with you again. We look forward to that, Jesus. And we pray that we just run that race with you now to the very end. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. And may we just surrender our lives to you. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.